And on today's program, the eighth season of We Hate Movies kicks into high gear with a really trashy TV movie. It's It! And for the eighth season in a row, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome back to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in.
I thought we were going to change the name to We Ate Movies.
No, that's maybe season 9's We Ate Movies.
But I don't think we're going to stop you from eating those VHS every night.
Oh, yeah. No, you do what you want. Yeah, you live your life like you want.
I just cut out the middleman like Videodrome and shove it right into my chest vagina.
There you go. Today's episode, like I mentioned up top, is one from my childhood that I've seen a lot of times, and it sucks. It's It from 1990, directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, director of such great movies as Halloween 3 and the original Fright Night.
That means a sizable portion of your life has been taken up by rewatching this. This movie is three hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen this movie like maybe like 5 or 6 times pre-watching it for this show. And also, like, I watched it last night in preparation for today. I also rewatched it like 2 months ago on a whim. And then somebody was like, hey, let's do It. And I was like, oh, fuck me.
That's almost an entire day of your life that's been wasted watching this movie several times.
You know what, Chris Cabin? I've wasted it in worse ways than this.
It's a lot of Harry Anderson, man.
He's one of the worst parts of this movie. I don't know that he's the worst part, but he is an obnoxious fixture in this film.
And it's not Night Court.
I love Night Court.
It's Dave's World. Harry Anderson. It's the worst. It's the worst.
Was anybody watching this for the first time for this show?
I think I only saw clips.
Oh, really?
Actually.
Yeah.
I've only seen like portions of it. Like on TV. I never really sat around for it because it was boring as shit.
Now, I saw it a couple years ago. Somebody had a sick VHS copy and I was like, oh, that's 3 hours.
What was wrong with it? Did you take it to the doctor?
Oh man, that's a joke that Harry Anderson's character in this movie would tell.
Oh, the world's most famous comedian. This guy sucks.
But you know, while we're saying it sucks and everything about it sucks, but there's a lot of people that like this movie.
Sure,
so get that out of the way.
So let's just fucking relax. How about that?
It's okay to like it.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of confusing statements with it in it. I will say there is a truly excellent part of this movie, and it is the legendary Tim Curry as Pennywise the Clown. You know, Pennywise the Clown ain't nothing to fuck with in this movie.
I mean, this thing would be relegated to hell if not for Tim Curry. Like, the only reason anyone could remember this or care about this is Tim Curry's great performance burrito.
Also, John Ritter's beard.
Oh my God.
It looks awesome. John Ritter with that beard, by the way, kind of looks like the dude who played Al Borland. Richard Karn.
Yes.
You know what he looks like? This beard, which is IMDb trivia, will tell you this. The woman that plays his girlfriend in the first scene where you meet him.
Oh, yeah.
Thought he was Beau Bridges. So she's like, making out with this dude. She's like, yeah, I made out with Beau Bridges today.
Oh, wait a second. Post-filming their scenes, she was like, I made out with Beau Bridges.
I mean, that's my interpretation of it. Just that she thought he was Beau Bridges.
You know, either way, that's great.
Yeah,
do you think Ritter didn't think anything of it because he was just like, oh, yeah, like she kept calling me Beau. I guess I'm her Beau or whatever.
She said, oh, she loved me in The Wizard. And I was like, that's a weird way to refer to Three's Company.
I'll tell you what I really want is I want that framed Time magazine cover he's got.
Because he's a famous architect.
That, you know what? That's a more believable Time magazine cover than our fucking stupid president's fake one. That fat fuck.
It's just John Ritter's face, and it says the new architects.
When has Time magazine cared about architects? When has anyone outside of Architecture Digest cared?
The world was on fire for architects.
Oh, really?
Right? Like Seinfeld. They were doing the art Vandelay shit. And
but
then,
that suggests...
So that's one.
But the new architects suggests that there was like multiple covers. Like Time did like a multiverse thing where Batman was on one, Superman, John Ritter was on one, George Costanza was on another one.
Didn't like every part Richard Dreyfuss ever play, wasn't he an architect or something?
It's kind of a fake movie job, it is. To be
it's
quite
like
honest.
A glamorous fake movie job that, you know, you make a godly amount of money.
Yes.
Mike Brady was an architect.
Really?
And all you got to do is carry around blueprints and your office has like neat models in it.
And then the boss is like, I don't know about that door. And you're like, oh, I'll fix that door for you, boss.
Just erase that door. Well, now the door's not there.
All it says to me is financially stable or expendable income as well.
Well, it's a boring job and it's a thing where not a lot of people know like the ins and outs. Yes. So you can just kind of gloss over it. Like, I'm an architect. Here's blueprints.
Christopher Lloyd is an architect in
Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando. Oh,
no, he's clearly a scientist.
Dude, there's lists online of movie architects. I just Googled this.
Oh my God.
Keanu Reeves in The Lake.
Lake House.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Woody Harrelson in Indecent Proposal. Michael Keaton in White Noise, which previous episode.
Oh, right.
And more.
That it?
Jude Law, Breaking and Entering. Adam Sandler in Click. Liam Neeson in Love Actually. Wesley Snipes in Jungle Fever. Luke Wilson in My Super Ex-Girlfriend. Ashton Kutcher.
Wait.
Student Architect in Butterfly Effect.
Hold on. The entire cast of White Men Can't Jump played architects in various films. Is that what you're telling me?
I think that's correct.
Rosie Perez is an architect, too?
Charles Bronson.
Oh, that stupid door shouldn't go there.
Charles Bronson in Death Wish.
Well, he's one of the most famous of cinema's architects.
Tom Hanks in Sleepless in Seattle. I'll stop.
Yeah, we get it.
Tom Selleck in 3 Men and a Baby.
You said you'd stop!
He's not stopping. I'm watching him do it.
He's, you know what he's doing right now? He's looking for one last great one. One last sweet, juicy nug.
Matthew Broderick and the Cable Guy.
All right. There you go.
So it's a Stephen King property. This is like a hot book from 1980-something or other. 86,
right.
I want to say.
Maybe.
We're in Maine. We're in Derry again. We were returning back to Bangor.
Derry.
Oh, hello there.
Derry was like one of his big like universe towns. Like that's honestly, that's the reason why I've seen this movie a bunch.
Yeah.
Is because in the 90s, I was obsessed with watching Stephen King adaptations. Not so much reading the books. I honestly have not read many Stephen King books, but like if there was a, it was like, because you knew, like, as a young lad, you were like, oh, that's horror. And I was like a budding horror nerd. And I was like, oh, sweet, there's another one. Oh, they keep making Stephen King movies.
And they all, like, so many take place in Derry. And I'm watching it as a kid going, where's the milk?
Good Lord.
Season 8, baby.
It's happening.
Season 8, Pun Town.
I'm going to need to, like, get a rim shot up on my phone just to play every once in a while for you.
It's good ones.
So, it's interesting because, like, where to begin with a movie that's 3 hours and 7 minutes long?
It's a clown that kills people that's also a giant spider.
It's I believe.
And a werewolf, too.
And a werewolf.
It's a shape shifting thing that's been on Earth for millions of years. None of this you learn in the movie, by the way. This is all book knowledge.
What we call book knowledge.
Landed in a comet in the book? Or an
what?
Yeah.
Wait, are you saying he's a killer clown from outer space?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, technically speaking. Yeah. He's a killer clown from outer space.
Space spider. He's also a space spider.
That's true. Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars?
This guy played backup on Space Oddity.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, like, we start basically-ish. I mean, like, we're basically going between a group of kids that wind up growing up, and, like, we are introduced to each one of them with their interaction of Pennywise,
right,
who is Tim Curry the clown. The most important one is Jonathan Brandis slash this other guy with a terrible ponytail.
Yeah, this other dude whose name I can't remember, but he was John Boy on The Waltons.
Okay.
And he now is, and no spoilers, Cabin, because I know I think you're current with it, but we're only in season two. He's excellent on The Americans. He's like Noah Emmerich's FBI boss.
Yeah, boss,
he's fucking awesome on that. He is ice cold, this guy on that show. And you know what? No ponytail on The Americans.
This ponytail this guy's got.
Why have it?
It's I don't even...
You just, You don't even see it for most of the movie.
It's what are you talking about? It's all I could look at through 3 hours and 7 minutes.
When those shots come up, but most of the shots are straight on. And
every time it's straight on, I'm like, I know that ponytail's behind there.
I need a thin, tight ponytail. If we're going for it, I need like a real stylized, you know, like...
But like a braided ponytail, though?
I don't know about braided. Yeah, probably braided. Mm. Ooh, really?
That'd be interesting. You know, I got to say... When I was watching this movie, I thought the same. I was like, oh, this ugly ponytail, this is a crime. And then the more I watched it, by the end of 3 hours, I was like, I kind of like ponytails now. Maybe I'll get one.
Well, that's just because he's the hero.
He's the hero, right?
Yes, he is the hero, mm-hmm. I think. The stuttering hero.
He's a famous novelist gone screenwriter, is I guess the idea.
Oh my God. See, now it's like
a Stephen King thing. Yes. Where it's
What?
And his protagonist is a writer with a sexy lady that's always telling him not to do things.
Mm-hmm. So that's
not enough cocaine in this movie, though.
Not by a country mile, man. Where is the cocaine in this movie?
Was cocaine in the book?
No, I think that was like Mr. Stephen King was a big cocaine guy for a while.
Oh. But ample alcoholism.
Yeah, sure.
Ample alcoholism.
We are filling like milk glasses with straight whiskey in this movie. And it's not just any one character. They're all doing it. This guy, Ritter, Harry Anderson, they've been terrorized by
a clown, man. Like, cut them a break.
So, like Steve said, it goes between 1960 and 1990.
Uh-huh.
And so the 1960 shit, which is the stuff that I think works in this movie, the kids, it's Jonathan Brandis, Seth Green, and then like a bunch of other kids that aren't anybody.
The girl is Emily Perkins, who's from Ginger Snaps.
Oh, right. The Ginger Snaps franchise.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Then the fat kid was the buddy on the Wonder Years for a few episodes.
And then he got cut.
I don't remember. I just remember
fat kid. We
got killed in Nam.
I don't know. No, that was Winnie's brother, and that's a fucking heartbreaking episode.
We're going to send all these fat kids to Nam.
Here come the Butterball Brigade.
Just drop them out of a plane.
No, but I don't know if that kid was on Wonder Years from the jump, but he was. I remember him from being on episodes of Wonder Years. And then a bunch of other squeaky
voice
kids.
One kid's from the Sandlot, I believe. The kid who plays Eddie is, I believe, in the
Sandlot. Oh, is he in the Sandlot?
I think so.
Is he the kid that kisses the lifeguard?
No.
No, he's just another one of the kids.
Gavin's like, I don't think so.
No, he plays the sand.
He was the dog, actually.
Oh, no, it's James Earl Jones. I apologize.
Man, wouldn't that be awesome? You're just big James Earl Jones is like running around with these kids.
And so like...
Hello, Eddie. Big Eddie.
They're all like outcasts in one way or another. It's very like Stand By Me.
I mean, it's Stephen King. We're all just fucking around at a rock quarry, aren't we? We're just having a good old time.
That's what you did back then, man. That was the fashion at the time. You just hung out in rock quarries. You built dams that probably fucked up your town's water supply.
Somebody get these kids a ball. And I mean, like, we start with it's Bill. He's sick in his bed. He's played by Jonathan Brandis. His little brother Georgie comes in. He's like, you know, Bill, build me a fucking boat because literally, I don't know, we live in the Great Depression. I don't have a ball. I don't have a comic book.
Well, that's the thing that I was confused about. It's 1960. This kid wants to play with a newspaper boat.
I mean, like, what?
I don't know. Come on.
Get an action figure. Get a G.I. Joe.
Get some jacks.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Georgie, where's my fucking hula hoop with a stick and I'm going to roll it down the sidewalk?
Hilariously, this is set in the same year that hula hoops were invented. So he could have. Shit.
Wait, how do you know that?
I looked it up.
Because this is a shared cinematic universe with the Hudsucker Proxers.
Yes. Tim Robbins comes in and he just starts selling. He just sells to everybody.
So that's a good place to start. So Georgie goes out and he's playing with this little boat and it's raining heavily and it goes into the drain and he gets murdered by Pennywise.
Well, it's Pennywise. He's like, it's Tim Curry and he's creepy as fuck because he's just like all, you know, he's a clown and he's just like, you know, the kid goes, he's like hitting on this kid kind of, you know, you're about to eat a kid. He hits on him a bit.
Is this the famous sewer scene where he's peeking out of the, he's trying to get that upskirt of this kid.
Well, what I love is like,
did it hurt when you fell from heaven?
This kid's dressed like the fucking Gordon's fisherman, by the way.
Well, it's raining in Maine, man. You better buckle up.
But he's like talking this kid up. He's like, yo, man, what are you? I got some. The good stereos are in the back of the fucking sewer.
You know what we have down in this sewer, don't you? Balls.
We got balls. We got comic books.
Two of them.
We got these things called video games. You haven't even heard of them yet. We got a fucking book, kid. Look into it. Pictures of animals too.
So the boat falls down there, and he has the boat, right? And that's how he's really luring.
He's luring
shot.
Him, yeah. And the kid's like, you know, my dad said never to talk to strangers. But I mean, I think the dad just like top lined it. He's like, never talk to strangers
unless they introduce themselves.
Yes. And, you know, don't talk to clowns in the sewer, well, period.
That's the thing. Even if the person introduces themselves to you, if they are in a sewer...
dressed as a clown.
Especially dressed as a clown.
Yeah.
Because he's like, well, all right, how about this? My name is Pennywise the Clown, and your name is Georgie. Now we know each other. Let's get naked.
God. Like, well, he just rips his arm off.
He rips his arm off and the kid bleeds to death in the street.
But you don't see it because it's ABC.
What a stupid fucking thing. Made for TV movies with Stephen King content. I'm looking at you, the Langoliers. What a waste.
It's all silly. It's all boring. And I mean, like, why make this a drama when it's a horror thing? Like,
yeah.
Everything should be horror. Like,
yeah.
Well, they skip over, like, in that first scene where, like, they find the new, it's the present day timeline, mm-hmm. and they find the kid in the thing, and they're like, hey, yeah, we got her. What's left of her? I'm like, holy fuck.
Show me it.
And you have to wonder, like, that's different from, like, a bunch of kids went missing.
Yes.
A bunch of kids were found like they were the Kittner boy, like, got fucking chewed up by Jaws.
That's the thing, though, right? It's like, you're right, going missing is different than what... If you read on Wikipedia or if you've read the book, like, what this beast is doing to these children, completely different story.
Just give me, like, a body under a tarp or something, or, like, yes. a rookie puking his guts out of the corner.
We need somebody throwing up, holding the side of the ambulance.
Just show me a pinky, like, a pale pinky. I'm like, oh, fuck, that kid's dead.
Exactly. Like, any kind of stakes. What, do we know what network this aired on?
ABC.
Oh, that's even fucking worse. Fucking Disney owned shit. That's,
well, I mean, I don't think it was Disney.
That's the pale pinky.
Hasn't it always
of the
been?
Lineup.
No,
I don't think so. No.
Oh, all right. What'd you say, Eric?
Nah, nothing. I was just talking about the pale pinky and how weird.
Sounds
it
like
is.
A sounds like a sex move. Gave her the pale pinky last night.
Yeah.
And tonight I'm gonna give him the pale pinky.
Everyone gets the pale pinky. It's so. He's very distraught by his brother's death and blah blah blah, and like that this is the most like important thing that happens in the teenage years. We meet everybody. Bill is a Stephen King stand-in. John Ritter is the world's most famous architect.
Uh-huh. Right.
Harry
his name
Anderson
is Frank Lloyd Wright.
Frank Lloyd Wright Jr.
And that little fat kid grew up to be Frank Lloyd Wright Jr.
Well, his dad died in Korea, and like at one point, like Pennywise turns into his dad, and he's like, "Hey, Georgie, I'm in hell."
It's kind of funny. He's like
Benny,
he's like,
I think it's him.
He's like, "Oh, hey, this is where I live now. This water filtration plant," and it's like some beefcake in like an airman's uniform.
Beefcake.
But then there's like little clown dots on his clothes, and then it's like this dude's like holding a balloon. Like there is some creepy imagery in this movie, but they just don't take it far enough.
Well, here's my question. So he gets Georgie, and like Georgie is like, oh, he's like, hey, you want a balloon, Georgie? And then like Georgie is like, oh, will it float down there? He's like, oh, you'll float. It'll float down here, George. Oh, but then he goes,
fucking float.
But he gets it in his brain for the next 30 years. All he's talking about is floating. And I don't like it's like getting into an argument with somebody and like, oh, can you take out the garbage? Oh, I'll take the garbage out, all right. And then like you're doing that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like anytime someone asks you a question and then you just constantly say, you're fake news. You're fake news. Yes. You're fake news. Endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Endlessly. Like as if you had some degenerative brain disease.
Yeah, I am a sewer clown. So what?
No, I definitely think we need to get Pennywise in a hospice.
and then we also have Beverly Bev, who grows up to be Annette O'Toole, who's a famous fashion designer.
Mm-hmm. Which is her brand is Beverly by Hand, by the way.
No, I notice that.
They're like answering the phone like, Beverly by Hand. Hello, this is Beverly by Hand. And but it's like,
isn't she more well known for being abused by her demonic freaking boyfriend?
I don't get this.
This is the most insane scene that they allow in this movie.
Bev is about to close a deal with some company, and like she closes it with her boyfriend, who's her partner and or her business partner as well. And then like they're sleeping, and everyone keeps getting calls from Mike Hanlon, who is the dad on Sister Sister and other stuff.
He was a dad on Sister Sister. He was Venus Flytrap on WKRP in Cincinnati. That's great fucking sitcom.
That's more like it. And Chris, you want to take it?
He goes to the fridge to get another bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
He's going doubles. He comes back.
Hey, honey,
back.
You want Sunny D, purple stuff, or champagne?
They just sealed some deal with these Japanese businessmen is the idea.
Sure.
And he like, you saw the seedlings of this in the scene where he's like, you know, do your hair this way and don't you touch it.
Yeah. Right. He doesn't allow her to take a phone call.
So she's packing up her bags trying to get home because there's a monster killing children in her hometown.
Sure.
And he's like, no, you're not. And like they start getting into it and he just gives her an open fucking, he just hits her.
It's five across the eyes, man.
And it's fucking
just like,
crazy.
Come on, what are we doing in this movie? And we've already seen her get abused as a kid, or maybe we will soon enough.
It's within 15 minutes.
Like
of this.
The two scenes that we see of this woman, yeah. She's getting abused by somebody. It's like,
well,
I guess that's the thing.
I mean, she says something about like, you know, oh, I found someone who's exactly like my father. Who that dude is like a 50-year-old Harry Dean Anderson looking guy. Pretty great. So this dude Mike is Mike Hansen. He's the guy, he's the town librarian, he's the one in the group who stayed behind. And I guess so the whole thing is they made a pact like, hey man, we defeated this demonic clown once. If he ever rears his ugly head again, I'm gonna call all you motherfuckers and you gotta promise to come back here. We're gonna fight this dude again, is the idea. So he's a lot of this movie is this dude just making phone calls.
A lot of this movie should be him like going through random white pages. Yes. Like, well, let me call every one of them in New York City and see maybe they moved there or maybe they moved here. I don't know how he finds.
Yeah,
everyone.
He does have current numbers for everybody, yeah. Which is
but he
convenient.
Gets like people at, like differently. Yeah, he's got current numbers. He gets Harry Anderson right. At like the Jay Leno or at the Carson show or something.
Yeah, backstage like, he gets a phone call. So I guess he was watching like Carson and just saw him on there. It was like, I better call the Carson show.
Well, he's a librarian, man. He's a resourceful guy. He knows how to look up phone numbers.
All that microfiche, you get all those phone numbers.
Oh, shit, that's true.
But he's a loser, apparently. Like, everyone else moves off and, like, becomes incredibly famous and even says, like, he's like, well, you all became
unusually successful.
Unusually successful is
but
a great term.
It's a weird, like, yeah, they talk about this at the end of the movie, but it's some weird... They're making it sound in the movie like it's some supernatural thing. Like,
yes.
Because these kids got out of the town and they're part of this this close-knit group of friends or whatever,
yeah.
they're all, like, unnaturally successful at what they've done.
So all he needs to do is go up the road and then, like, open up, like, I don't know, like, open up a car dealership and he's the best car salesman in the world? Like, is that the idea?
I guess so.
But he's the best librarian in the world now. I guess that's how he finds the numbers.
No, but he's not, though, because he never left Derry. He's still fucking damned because he lives in these town lines,
right.
Dude.
So he can't even shelve books right, is that what you're saying?
No, he's fucking up constantly. He's spilling coffee on the periodicals.
Dewey Decimal, what?
It's really bad. It's embarrassing.
He's been on probation like six different times at work, and they're like, they don't fire him, but they're like, all right, I guess, Mike, you're back on probation again.
We're going to try assistant librarian for a little while to see how it is.
Oh, yeah, man, yeah. Librarian demotion. That stinks.
Yeah, I'd like to check this book out. And just take it, man. Just take it. Just
Mike, what did we say about the books? There's a system.
Scan that card. So Seth Green is Harry Anderson, a young version.
Yes.
So Harry Anderson, budding comedian, whatever.
Budding terrible. This is like sub Dunham. I'd rather watch Jeff Dunham be racist with puppets.
It's like a Catskills comedian thing. It's some of the hackiest shit.
Which is great. And then.
Is it?
Yeah. So they get the
phone
call.
It's a Godzilla joke he's taking.
His manager is like. Well, you were supposed to guest host the Tonight Show, and you're going away. He's like, yeah, let Leno do it.
So, and this is 1990.
So it, or Pennywise, is responsible for the reign of Leno on the Tonight Show.
Oh, that fucking evil clown. I knew he was a menace,
and
man.
I think these kids were all a ruse just to install Leno into that chair for how many years was he on that show, Chris?
I forget.
25?
Something that sounds right.
Like 93-ish to 2010?
Yeah, yeah, because he came back from the dead one last scare.
If his real end was to make as much misery as possible in the world.
Misery, Stephen King book.
Yeah, yeah.
Is definitely bigger than killing, 500 kids?
Yeah, I would definitely trade him.
Over centuries, though.
But in one town.
Yeah.
Wait, so was he killing, Native American kids, or what?
I think that's the idea, because in the book, at least, it's like he says he's been an entity on this planet for millions of years. And then the dude Mike we see in this TV movie is tracing back, the history of the town, and he discovers that,
Wait a second. Did he kill the dinosaurs?
At least in Derry, Maine. He killed all Derry, Maine's dinosaurs.
The young dinosaurs in Derry, Maine.
Oh, no, look out, Mother Velociraptor. Killer clown's gonna take us out.
I wonder why this deferred a minute ago, but all right, Jay. I tried twice. You had the Tonight Show. You lost it twice. You got a last chance. I'm going to kill 5 more kids, and you'll get Jay's garage. That's it. I'm out, man. I got other things to do. I'm an enormous spider.
Pro tip. Denim.
Yeah, okay. I'm denim. I can't do loud.
That was actually pretty accurate.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Look, if the kids got to die, they got to die.
Look, let's be straight and make one thing perfectly clear. The only reason I'm coming back right now is I really fucking hate Conan O'Brien. I want to fuck that ginger up good. Don't think this is a favor to you, Leno.
Thank you, my lord. My dark lord.
Oh. My dark lord. It.
We got a great show today. We got a Hugh Grant and a little special thanks to the murderous clown in Derry, Maine. Thank you very much.
Oh, Jay, you're so off the cuff.
I got a question for you. Who is the first president of the United States? Who is the clown that's killing everybody in Derry, Maine?
and then there's a little nerd, Eddie. Mm-hmm. Who grows up to be a dude who looks like Matthew Modine but is not.
Yes, and the whole game is Eddie gay? ?
I think he's just a mama's boy.
You play? I wasn't playing that game.
But it's a weird thing, because they keep saying
he's a virgin or something?
Well, no, there's a comment spoiler alert, when the next one, the coward, Stan, when his headless entity is talking to them and talking about what they're repressing with their fears. He says, or who you sleep with.
Eddie, what's your sex life like? Do you have a sex life? ? Like that kind of a thing.
It's weird.
Yeah, no.
I like this dude who looks like Matthew Modine, though. I don't know what else I may or may not have seen him in.
He's a better part of this movie, for sure.
I think he might be the guy who, this is freaking really out there, in Superbad, the guy who gets into a fight with Kevin Corrigan in the second big party.
I've got no fucking clue.
You, but I just saw Superbad again, so I
can
just
I tell
have
you
space
this? I've seen Superbad a total of one time in my life.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. It's 10 years old now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's still really good.
That's bone chilling news.
Yes.
We're gonna have Jonah Hill later, because 6 kids were killed in Derry this week. I got another week on my contract. Thank you, Dark Lord. Thank you very much.
I just bought another car. It's so great. Thank you so much.
When'll it be enough, Jay? When'll it be enough cars?
Even I, Pennywise the Clown, am getting tired of killing kids for you.
Is it like, is he like liquefying them for gas or something?
I got a Studebaker for you, but the thing is it only runs on kids.
And so this nerd, Eddie, has grown up to have like a successful fleet of limousines as his business.
Sure.
There's a great line here. So he gets the call, like, you got to come back. The clown's fucking up the town again. And he's running out of his mansion and he's like living with his mother. And this woman's like crazy overprotective, like screaming after him and shit. He gets in a car and tells this driver to go. And then he's like getting business affairs in order for his time away. And he's like, I want you to personally take the Pacino job.
Oh, really? I missed that
yeah,
line.
Dude, he instructs him that he wants this driver to personally take care of Al Pacino.
Hoo-ha! Where's Eddie? Supposed to be picked up by Eddie here.
And you know what? This will lead us into Stan, but honestly, if Al Pacino's coming into town, sorry, guys, I got to miss this weekend. You know, I know I said that I'd come back at a drop of a hat, but it's the Al Pacino weekend.
Totally.
Eddie, it's back. It's eating children.
Yeah, but it's Al Pacino. I'm going to drive Al Pacino around.
Man, a 1990 Al Pacino. What are we talking about, though? Because this is even like pre-Godfather 3.
Is that a woman 90?
Justice for All?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
maybe
the
that.
Love Pacino.
Oh, yeah. And Justice for All, I think, was earlier.
Okay. Yeah, that was
good movie, earlier. Though.
Good movie, yeah.
He should have just like brought Pacino with to Darius. Add something fun to this movie.
Clown! Look at that clown! Oh, boy, Eddie, look at that clown. You like that clown because he's got a great ass! And your face is all up in it!
It's from the film Heat.
I'll be reading from Heat today.
I have a little script with me.
That's a great way that you defeat Pennywise, is you just read screenplays at him.
I'm going to run some signs with you, Penny. Oh, no, I'm shrinking. William Monahan script to The Departed, I'm shrinking.
Then what's the cowardly guy's name?
His name is Stan, and he's having like a quiet evening in. He's like, seems to be the least successful, but he's successful enough. He's got a wife. She's like knitting, watching Perfect Strangers.
Kind of one of the highlights of this movie, actual footage of Perfect Strangers.
The scariest part.
And it's the episode where they got the skis on and they're fucking around with each other in the living room.
I got to tell you, man, Hulu's putting Perfect Strangers on in a couple of weeks. Yep. You won't see me for a while.
Yep, they're doing that entire TGIF lineup.
You hear that, folks? We're going back on break.
Perfect Strangers, Urkel, Step by Step. Mm-hmm. It's all there. Dude, you can see Urkel be a sexual predator.
Oh, man, you won't see me for like an hour.
I'm wearing her down.
Don't worry, everyone. I'll still be here.
So he gets a call, and like it's like, oh, it's Mike Hanlon. And like the idea is anytime you leave Dara, you forget. The good news is you forget all about Dara. You forget about the clown shit. You forget about all the dead kids, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And you become incredibly successful. The drawback is every so often Mike Hanlon calls you and is like, hey, man, you got to come back to town.
You get that fucking Hanlon update, dude.
It's also not made completely clear that that's how that works.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like if they had just called him and said, like, it's back.
Yeah.
Even if they hadn't, if they remembered it all, they would act the same way, essentially.
Well, the thing is,
they're afraid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if we're supposed to understand this, and perhaps the book tells you this. It definitely does, probably. Mm-hmm. But like
the 1,000 pages of this scary clown book. Yeah, I didn't have time for it.
Yeah. But like, is it a thing where we are forgetting it due to traumatic experience?
Yes.
Or is it magic?
I think it's magic. It is magic. In the book, it's magic.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly, in the book, it's magic.
Wait, he's a space wizard now?
No, it's just the magic of Maine.
Oh.
Which I'm going to do their PR and their their touristy board is... They've been pitching me for a while, and I think I'm going to do it.
There you go.
But so he gets this call, and he's like, oh, yeah, Mike. And then, like, Mike is kind of addicted. He's like, you promised, Stan. Come on, man. You promised me here, bud.
I'm
in a real jam with this scary clown pal.
If you know the weight of this situation as only Mike Hanlon can, you are going to guilt these fuckers to come back to town.
Yeah.
You can, you know what's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, Richard Mazur?
This is Richard Mazur, the dad from Encino Man.
And License to Drive. He's
yep.
incredible. He's love this guy.
Jason Schwartzman's father on Bored to Death.
Oh, fuck, right, yeah. Oh, he's I totally forgot
he's in
about
the thing. I don't know if he's headless in the thing. I don't know if that's like this guy's Richard Mazur's thing.
No, he just gets shot in the head.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, just head damage in some way or another.
Yeah, that's my thing. You can fuck up my skull.
So he's like about to like bang his wife, right?
Dude, I was preparing for some fuck watching.
Wait, how do you prepare for that?
You just flops on.
You sit up in, on your couch or your chair or whatever you have. You straight. You get good posture and you look right at that TV and you don't let anything break your gaze.
And you definitely don't smile. No,
no.
It's a very serious, serious thing.
What happens if you crack a smile?
Because I don't know.
The DVD starts.
No one's ever done it before.
Who would do
it? Eric, you'll never make it in late night if you smile.
Well, it's so weird because she's like, listen, I just got a call from my mother. And of course she wants to know when we're going to make her a grandmother.
I'm like, dude, maybe that ship might have sailed.
But then, yeah, also, yeah.
I'm 57.
These actors, first of all, yeah.
Looking to adoption.
But then, so he's like, that's funny. It's kind of one of the creepiest lines in this movie, in a real creep fest movie. He's like, oh, well, me and your mother were thinking the exact same thing.
In fact, we talked about how to do it.
And she's like, oh, you mean right now? So they're ready to fuck right in front of Balky Bartakamoos and Cousin Larry.
And it's just like, of course, that's when fucking Mike Hanlon's got a call.
Dude, man, let this the machine get it.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
And he gets it, and he goes, oh, yeah, Mike, I remember the promise. Oh, God, are you sure it's back? And he goes upstairs. He's like, I'm going to take a bath. And he kills himself, and he writes it on the wall.
Yeah.
Dude, just be like, oh, shit, man. I have any excuse in the book.
Totally. You know what, Mike Hanlon? Come fucking find me.
Why do you leave Maine, you lousy fuck?
Yeah, he lives in Atlanta, Georgia. Like, come on down, motherfucker. Drag me across the Mason-Dixon to fight your clown monster.
But just, have you never made up an excuse? Like, come on, man. Oh, my mother-in-law's in town. My dog's got diarrhea. Like, there's a lot of shit going on here this weekend, Mike.
I would leave with dog diarrhea.
This dude I have not spoken to in 30 years asked me to come home for some weird supernatural event. Better commit suicide.
Or, you know what? You just go, hey, buddy, you got the wrong number.
Exactly.
Are you sure you made a promise? Yeah, wrong number.
Yeah, no, nobody in this house makes promises except to fuck while Perfect Strangers is on.
Hey, hon, if anyone calls that sounds like they may have been on WKRP in Cincinnati, just I am not home. Johnny Fever, Lonnie Anderson, all of them. I am not home this weekend.
How about we moved? blanket, we moved statement for those
exactly,
people.
Exactly, and there's no internet, man. Just like move. Move to the next house over.
Straight to slitting your wrists in a bathtub, dude. Overreaction of the century.
Over a kid promise. And like,
and then writing it on the wall?
Yeah.
You know, why even connect yourself to that?
Yeah,
why
totally.
Give it the pleasure, right? Sad or something.
Yeah.
Or like a frowny face so that people know why you did it.
He etched a frowny face in blood on his bathroom tile.
It's easy enough to do a balloon, just like something more than...
Or
IT.
Just don't write anything. Don't kill yourself.
I mean, like, I am the first one to kill myself in a horror movie, but not in a horror movie where there's a geo-specific demon that cannot leave this town that I am fucking miles and miles away from.
Pennywise does not cross the town line, man. Just hang up the phone.
He ain't going to Atlanta.
No. Oh, honey, who is that? Nobody. Zip.
Exactly.
And what are you ultimately, like really ultimately, what are you doing it for? For the pride of John Ritter? Like really, like that you are doing it just because you're scared of saying no to these people.
You don't even remember John Ritter, dude. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's even less reason.
Give me Harry Dean Anderson's fucking number. I'll call
Harry
him.
Harry Anderson.
Harry Anderson.
Not Richard Dean Anderson. Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck, if MacGyver rolled in, dude. Can you imagine he'd fuck that clown up with some bubble gum and a paper clip?
Well, he always has battery acid on him. So.
Oh, that's one of his weaknesses.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, like, don't kill yourself in this situation. If you're in a house with Jason and you got no way out, yeah, maybe take the coward's way out.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of the coward's way out. But this is like the idiot's way out.
Yeah.
Total boob move. Also, man. I can't believe it.
For the 5 or 6 scenes that they use blood in this, like, why waste it on a death that, like, you didn't have to? Like,
but that's
it's pretty cool. Looking. No, but I kind of like it.
You kind of
cool.
like it?
Well, I mean, I just like the it on the wall.
It's cool imagery, but to your point, though, Cabin, like, the thing about it is, if you notice this movie's blood use, it's all just like on wall. It's only on porcelain. Sinks, bathroom tile of some kind.
And photo albums. They're all porcelain.
Yeah,
as well.
Bleeding bleeding porcelain photo albums.
The blood balloons. My God, the 99 blood balloons you get.
99 blood balloons floating in the dairy sky.
Pretty much.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's fucking weird, man.
I'd buy that single.
Ritter's introduction is also kind of great. So when he gets the phone call, he's coming back from winning some sort of architecture award.
Dude, this guy is going to nothing but architecture ceremonies day in and day out.
I don't understand this world, though. He's got like a babe, a stretch limo, possibly cocaine.
He's an architect. Cocaine. He's an architect.
What's weird, though, is in the book, I think he lives in like Nebraska or some shit. Which is, I mean, they don't specify where he is.
No,
here.
He's in New York City.
Oh, is he in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the book, he's somewhere in the Midwest like that.
Because at some point, he goes up, like, he's, like, all drunk, and he's looking at the city like, oh, I architected you, you son of a bitch.
I fucking built this town.
It's my building. That's my building. That's my building.
Yeah, he drunkenly walks up to it on top of it. It's like the baby's day out ending. He's just walking up to the end of it, drunk off his ass.
That is the scariest part of this movie. So he gets out of this limo with this babe who thought he was Beau Bridges. And they're boozing it up. He stumbles into this loft thing. Massive loft space. I think the chuds are running around outside. And, you know, they're about to get down. He gets the fucking dreaded mic phone call. And then immediately, like, pushes this woman aside and goes to a table and just fills up this huge water glass with whiskey.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, we're getting drunker tonight, and this dick will not be working. There's so much interrupted fucking in this movie.
That's Mike Hanlon's move, man. And guess what, Mike Hanlon? I'm busy tonight. Maybe I'll get there tomorrow.
Mike Hanlon's fucking everything. Yeah, his part-time job is a cock blocker.
Assistant librarian / cock blocker. And I mean, like, here's the thing. You answered it, by the way. What if you built a sewer from New York all the way to Derry? You flood Pennywise with chuds.
Oh, yeah, get the chuds up in there.
This is a very practical solution to build a gigantic tunnel system wherein New England shit could mix with New York City shit.
Yep.
All right.
Supernatural beasts fight each other.
Awesome.
Ninja Turtles can get into the mix.
Jay, you got to come back. The chuds are after me.
Can I ask a serious question?
Please.
What is going on with John Ritter's phone in this apartment?
I don't remember.
You see this?
And it's an incredibly long phone wire, right?
It's a cord phone because it's 1990, so we're still fucking around with that. But yeah, it's a weird, like, the phone's on the bed, right? And it's got a long cord to the you know, receiver and whatnot.
Sure.
But then also, the cord goes, like, up into the ceiling?
Yeah.
How much cord do you need, Ritter?
Is the phone on the ceiling?
No, the phone's on the bed.
But it just goes up, so it loops but up?
You're talking about the curly cable to the ceiling?
It does, yes.
Yeah, the curly cable just goes up. I mean,
that is madness.
You're a super successful architect. How about more than one fucking phone in the house?
Too busy concerned if he could rather than if he should.
Yeah, that was the decision he made at Caldor's.
Sir, I don't know if I can make a phone wire that large.
Caldor phone, huh? What a cheapskate, Ritter.
But the funny thing is, he used to be the fat kid, and like this whole movie, and like John Ritter's in like, you know, early 90s John Ritter shape.
Sure.
Which is not to say great, but not to say bad either. But everyone's like, oh, you lost so much weight. I'm like, he's fucking 40. Anything can happen. Like, people are fat kids and they grow out of it.
And that kid was like a big kid. He wasn't like super tough.
Yeah, they react
like this little kid had to be cut out of a house.
Exactly.
Like they see Ritter and they're like, holy fuck, did they cut off 75% of your body?
Like, no, I grew. You notice I'm 6'3" now? Like, what do you think happened?
He tells some weird story about how like a gym teacher beat the shit out of him because he lost weight.
Yeah.
What? I missed this.
There's a thing. He's like giving Annette O'Toole a sensuous massage. And he's telling the story about how like, some kids were picking on him because he was fat and the gym teacher didn't do anything. And he was like, next spring, I'm trying out for the track team, motherfucker, and you're going to pay for this or whatever. And he talks about like he ran everywhere for like the whole winter salad.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then I beat all these records at the track team tryout. And I said, what do you think about that, coach? And the coach punched him in the face.
I would too.
How dare you lose weight? So everybody comes back and everyone's very afraid. And now Pennywise, and like, guess what? Now Pennywise is fucking with you 24/7.
Yeah.
He wasn't before, now he is.
It was just Mike's problem yesterday.
Exactly.
Now today, it's all of your problem.
And by this time, we've been getting all those flashbacks of 1960 and all their personal encounters and
yes, and all the stuff. The one thing we should say in the 1960s, they beat him with the slingshot. In the novel, which I don't think, and the reason we're doing this, by the way, in case you haven't noticed, is it is coming out as well.
Yeah,
I think it is already out.
Yeah, it was out last Friday.
And none of us have seen it.
We're recording this in mid-August.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we don't have to tell. You don't have to tell them everything.
WHM secrets, planning ahead for episode releases.
And I would guarantee that this tidbit from the novel didn't make it into the movie.
A colleague of mine has seen the movie and has confirmed it's not in it as well.
So they defeat it, and it's great, right? And they're lost. All these kids, these prepubescent kids, are like lost in the sewer tunnels. And wouldn't you know it, the only way to get back to civilization is if they all have sex with their female friend. Clickety-clack, clickety-clack.
So they defeat the ancient evil clown shapeshifter.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Clickety-clack. And then they get lost in a sewer that is in a small main town with a low population. It's got to be like, a mile or less to the water treatment plant or something?
Yeah, maybe, it's not a big town.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
And then they don't know how to get out, so they decide to have an orgy.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Just to, you know, like, I don't know, freshen up their minds or something?
I think it's something where it's like...
unity?
United if we've all fucked. But my question is
it's like Creepy Captain Planet.
It's kind of like Sleepers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. It is not kind of like Sleepers, Kevin. My God. Wait,
they have this shared trauma that they carry around.
Yeah,
form of Pennywise,
but
I guess.
That shared trauma. I was going to say the orgy in the book is not...
They molested themselves, Chris.
You know what? Shame on the publishers, too.
Exactly.
What did he have over these publishers that he was like, you know what? You're not cutting out the kid orgy.
You can blame cocaine on a lot of things. Yes. I don't think you can blame it on this. This was like fucking five tablets of acid then a whole thing of Jim Beam rye.
Everybody should be 69ing if that's the case. Yeah. It should be.
I think what happened was Stephen King went to a Lewis Carroll art exhibit. and then went home and decided to pen a little tribute.
I mean, my God, you want unity? How about a fucking big old sewer set daisy chain? Okay, come on.
Or just a big old group hug,
also,
maybe.
How about where are you fucking in a sewer? What are you fucking up to your neck and turds? God.
And apparently it goes pages.
Hey, kids, I was just going to eat you, honestly. You know, it's over. We're good. I'm gonna go back to space. Hey, kids, guess what? You won. You beat old Pennywise the clown.
It was too disturbing for Pennywise. You gotta do something more fucked up than Pennywise.
Gotta go throw up.
The alien spider crab is aiming the slingshot at itself.
You know what? I'm gonna sacrifice myself and shoot myself in the dead light, you sick fucking kids. Who taught you that?
Oh my god, then he's just trying to raise them right now.
Honestly, I was alive when there wasn't even laws in this country. This is crazy.
Maybe I've gone too far. How about I read you a story? Maybe I'll help you with your algebra. I know math.
You know, we're talking about this thing that's not in the movie we're talking about, and thank God it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, how about a group hug? Actually, at the end of the one sequence, I mean, there's a big hug.
Sure.
Everybody gets in a circle, and we have a big hug. Nobody's jerking nothing in the circle. It's just a hug circle.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the few moments where the movie improves on the source material, I would say. Yeah,
you fucking better believe it.
So
when they're kids, by the way, how do they defeat Pennywise by spraying him with battery acid? How do they know to do that?
Well, here's the thing. I thought the same thing because I watched it and I didn't read the book. But while I was Wikipediaing today, they used the power of imagination against Pennywise.
Oh.
So the kid, by saying it's battery acid, he reacts as if it is
battery acid. I thought it was like, I thought pollution killed all the monsters in the world. Like, you don't see Mothman anymore because pollution
makes monsters. Whoa. Man. That's what happened to Godzilla.
That's true.
And the Toxic Avenger.
Well, and the Toxic Avenger, of course.
I think this is a monster paradox.
Mm-hmm.
That they can be killed by or become from.
Right. Oh, it's like the Genesis device.
You know what? Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, and then, he goes away. They all hug, and then they go back, and they come back. And when they come back, he starts haunting them all. Harry Dean Anderson's... Harry Anderson.
You just want to watch MacGyver,
I
man.
I kind of do. He goes to the library to meet Mike. And this is my favorite Tim Currying that happens in the movie. Where, he's, making fun of him. He's like, oh, he's, flirting with a young librarian. He's like, little young for you, huh, Richie? And he's like, no. And then, he's trying to talk to her, and he's, getting all scared. There's a bunch of blood balloons going off. And then it's just this shot of, Richard Anderson in the foreground trying to talk to this librarian.
Anderson. The man's name is Harry Anderson.
The character's name's Richie.
Okay. All right.
His name's John Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Harry Anderson is in the foreground, and Pennywise, Tim Curry is in the background, up on this balcony. He's like, hey, you fuck! And he's just screaming, and he's trying to just well, when's he going to be back? Is he going to be back anytime soon? He's like, yeah, you're going to die, you son of a bitch! And he's just like, thank you so much. I can, it's just it is a great scene.
All while Harry Anderson, who's the only one that can see this, is himself covered in blood.
Yes, exactly.
It's awesome.
And then O'Toole goes back to her house because she's trying to find her dad. She had this thing where there's a blood sink, and she's like, oh, I guess I'll go back to see what the old sink looks like.
Man, blood sink, that's like a C-grade 80s horror movie.
Yes.
Don't wash your hands in blood sink.
Ooh, the prequel to Deathbed.
The bed that eats, man.
And the prequel to, the refrigerator?
Mm. I haven't seen that one yet.
That one is bad.
Murder Phone?
Oh, you're thinking of Murder by Phone.
Murder by Phone,
A.K.A.
Yes.
Bells, I think.
Oh,
that's a crazy movie.
Yeah, you get a phone call and your head explodes. Basically,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I have to see it. I haven't seen
it's
this.
It's pretty good.
Is you know, that's good? That's a situation where if you get a phone call, you might want to kill yourself. Not so much if a friend invites you out to Maine.
Yeah, who's that in that movie? Richard Chamberlain, I want to say.
Really,
Harry Anderson.
So she goes to this house, and this old lady answers the door, and she's like, hey, is my dad here? And she's like, FYI, your dad's been dead for 5 years. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, if you got an abusive dad, that guy's going to die alone, and you're not going to that funeral. Good for him.
Totally. So she invites her in for some tea, and she's like, oh, I love what you've done with the house, blah, 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 blah. And as is the case with several scenes in this movie, it's Pennywise pretending to be a person.
Mm-hmm.
They take 5 minutes to get there.
Yeah. Well, you know, they decided they were going to make this a two-part fucking TV event, man. You got to drag it out somehow.
Well, Eric has a new metric for We Hate Movies now, because this is the longest movie we've ever done.
Because this is 3 hours and what was it?
7 minutes.
7 minutes. So what?
In total.
The Godfather is what now?
It's longer than The Godfather. It's longer than 2 hours and 58 minutes.
Yeah, we have to skip Star Wars now. It's just a hair under Schindler's List.
It's 8 minutes. It's 8 minutes shorter than Schindler's List.
Oh wow!
That is insane.
For a that scary clown.
And I'll tell you what, that other movie's got more kids dying in it.
Oh, God.
It's not good. I mean, no, it's a good movie, but it's not good what happened.
Sure. No, absolutely not.
I'm glad we could clarify that. Clean that up before the tweet storm.
It's cleaned. It's cleaned up.
It's
a museum now.
This is actually, it's kind of funny because it's another like Stephen King likes gross old dead ladies thing.
Yeah, sure.
Because this is kind of just like The Shining where, you know, Jack Torrance sees the fucked up old lady.
Did
in the
anyone
bathtub.
Notice somewhere in this movie there was a poster in the background of like The Glowing or something?
Oh, yes. That's.
Is that a nod
it's in
to
the library.
Shining? Is that a nod to The Shining?
It is, yes. That's stupid. Because Bill is a Stephen King type and he wrote a book called The Glowing.
Oh, he wrote The Glowing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Well, it's a funny thing when Bill goes into the town library and there's a section that's like town hero Bill. And then they have like all of his books laid out or whatever. But it's fucked up because then like, so the old lady starts talking like Pennywise and she looks up and she's got like fucked up Pennywise teeth, but then it turns into the voice of her father. And then it's that actor.
Yes.
Who kind of looks like Harry Dean Stanton, then just dressed up with dead old lady makeup on and he's running after her. Dude, it was, this is a bone chilling part of this movie.
Might be unrelated to Pennywise. This is just what happened to her father. He did some psycho shit.
It's a creepy town, man. Lots of creepy shit went on in this town, apparently.
Well, this is also the town that The Stand happens in.
Okay.
One of them. Insomnia is connected to this.
Dreamcatcher's in here. What?
Insomnia is connected to this.
Insomnia is part of this because I think they talk about Mike working at the library, I think, in Insomnia.
So wait, okay. So in 1990, we finally rid the town of it. Of Pennywise for hundreds of years, he's been, and then like fucking 10 years later, Dreamcatcher shows up.
Yeah,
well, and then in Dreamcatcher, now in this, the clown has the powers, but in Dreamcatcher, basically the same group of kids has superpowers,
right?
You know.
Yeah, there's
it's
other, there's like,
it.
Why couldn't the psychic kids help out the kids who were fucking in the sewer?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I guess they just weren't friends.
Maybe they were the bullies.
Well, yeah. I think I think the kids who were fucking in the sewer are a little older than the Dreamcatcher
kids. Yes, I guess it. And it was between it cycles, in between 30-year.
Oh, right, because it's the 30-year thing. In the book, it's 27. Right. This is a stupid thing. Like, in the book, it's 27 years is the cycle. Just keep that.
Yeah,
just
whatever.
Fucking
and,
keep
and
that.
What is the alien cycle? Because in Dreamcatcher, right? Isn't aliens?
Yeah,
it's so
aliens
it's like
come
30
back.
Years. Is an alien cycle.
Yeah, it's like the winter and the summer Olympics. It's always you have to keep it separated. The it comes every 30 years. The alien comes every 25.
I'm
and
sure
they never meet.
You know, occasional ghosts.
Oh, ghosts are on 15-year cycle.
Yeah, okay.
Devil dogs every like 5 minutes. Minutes maybe.
Oh man, devil dogs. For me, that was like every afternoon, have a devil dog on the way home from school, right?
I was talking about the Mighty Cujo, but sure.
I'm talking about that nasty pastry.
Yeah.
Oh, the Hostess.
It's like sand,
but sand with like whipped cream. It was so dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, devil dogs were notoriously dry cakes.
It's trash, man.
Can we talk about the most awkward and like annoying scene in this movie?
Please.
Which is the endless dinner at the Chinese restaurant.
Yes. Yes.
So
this was like a Seinfeld episode.
It really was, dude. So Mike, with his town connections, arranges to rent out like the back, the party room of this sit down Chinese restaurant. Mm. First of all, as Eric pointed out off the air, you're not getting this fucking grand Hunan balcony type restaurant in fucking main suburbs.
Also, I wouldn't want to go there.
They're advertising chop suey. Isn't that more of like a West Coast thing? I never saw it on living on the East Coast.
Yeah, we don't have that here, really.
Yeah, that's
true. At least advertised like as it being like the selling point of the restaurant.
Go for burgers and beer. Go for a fucking lobster roll. I'm finally back in Maine. You know, the one thing, I mean, the clown's terrible, but the lobster rolls are great.
Yeah.
Gotta be like clam chowder, maybe, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Go to like the harbor districts, whatever.
You're back. Come on, come to the harbor district. We've been building it up.
Well, I don't know. Is Derry like
we've
on
got
the
a
coast?
Gap, Bill.
Is Derry on the coast like that?
I don't know where it's positioned
in the
state. Go to the dairy farm. Have some cheese.
It's a foodie destination.
So first of all,
you know, all those old factories have been turned into breweries.
Jerry's. Kids' arms are a delicacy.
So the first problem sign at this restaurant right away is that there's a liquor cart that's just there for John Ritter to start poking around in, man.
That's awesome.
And so they get in and like immediately Mike is like, so this clown, and they're like, hang on a second, let's have a drink and catch up. And they proceed to just get loaded.
Well, this is when we play the only song in the movie, which is because there's one. This is used in two montages. This montage and the bicycle montage, where it's like, it's all right. You paid for one song. Yeah, we only had one song.
It's, I don't know if it's him singing it, but I think it's a song that Curtis Mayfield wrote.
Sure.
Awesome. You have a good time because it's all right.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. And this movie does, like, all TV and movies does this. And it's, this movie is about a fucking killer clown that shapeshifts into a crab spider.
Sure, you would think.
One of the most unbelievable parts of this movie is the whole, we're ordering seemingly endless amounts of Chinese food.
Yes.
We always do this in entertainment, television, and movies. Like, it's two people eating Chinese food. There's like nine takeout boxes around. They are getting...
That's how I eat Chinese food.
Really? You just order...
I go ape shit, dude. And then I'm just like, you know what? Hey, maybe there'll be leftovers.
There are
maybe
six of them. There are six, but this is a restaurant. There are six of them at this table. They're getting... like at least 15 entrees we see during this Motown montage.
At least family specials. Style. Specials, I would say. Not even like the normal like chicken and broccoli.
It's the real deal, back of the fucking menu, whole fish special.
Lobster sauce.
There's like a succulent pig sitting on the table. And it's crazy.
The fucked up thing is at the end of the thing, Mike insists on paying. Mike, notoriously the least successful of them all.
Yep. Yeah.
And like they do one cursory, like, oh, come on, Mike. He's like, nope, it's all taken care of. And they're like, well, all right, thank you, Mike. And it's like, no, Mike's in trouble.
There goes his rent.
Well, you know, maybe it was a thing where like the owner of the Chinese restaurant had like $1,000 in late fees. And he's like, all right, man, I will waive these late fees if you give me and my friends.
That's why he's on probation. He's just fucking tearing up late fees left and right.
Or maybe he's got their kids hostage and he's going to feed them to it.
Oh, that's it.
I bet he's been like sacrificing kids around town.
Oh, that might be something.
We should call these distractions.
That should be the twist. He was like, it's helper.
It's a great way to shut down. Like if you want to pick up a check, he has a great line though where he just goes, sorry, guys, that's just the way it is.
Uh-huh.
Shuts it right down. Like, they make a stink, but well, you can't come back from that. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is.
You know, if that's the case and you're a millionaire architect, you mail Mike like $500. You know, it's in an envelope, exactly. And like it's just like you don't think about it.
The rule of thumb is if you're on the cover of Time magazine, you're picking up the check.
That's absolutely correct. Thank you, Eric. Unless it's for a murder beef. Unless it's like your mugshot.
Oh, yeah,
that's the only...
I would like to. Can we get murder beef for the table? Maybe some of the sesame chicken.
Oh, the murder beef you have to order in advance. It takes way too long.
All right, Ted Kaczynski, just get out of jail. You're picking up the check, big guy. You know the rule. they're all catching up. We learn a little bit about each other, everybody. And then it starts to get spooky scary, right? This is the important part.
Well, this is, so then the lady comes with like the fortune cookies and they all like start turning into creepy monsters and stuff and gushing blood and guts all over the table.
Some of this gets lazy and confused. One's a cockroach, one's a scary eyeball, which is a pretty good effect. Another one is like just blood because we like blood. This John Ritter's is like this weird crab claw thing that is trying to get everybody.
That one's weird.
Yeah.
And then Mike's got like a fucking chicken embryo.
Yeah.
That's also disgusting. Mm-hmm. But you know, the thing about this
Sorry,
scene,
Mike, I ran out of ideas. I never thought all six of you were going to show up. I'm glad Stan's dead because I really don't know what I would do with that.
Someone would have just got a stale cookie. Nothing creepier than a stale fortune cookie, Stan.
I put my used floss in it. I mean, that's pretty
and
gross.
The fortune was terrible.
The fortune was just one of those obnoxious things that says, to get more fortunes, go to this website. Fuck you, lazy Chinese fortune
cookie. I only had
enough
magic left to make the lucky numbers all 13.
That's all I got, Mike. Sorry.
But, you know, by rules of, you know, restaurant etiquette, technically this dinner shouldn't even happen.
Uh-huh.
Because they all get there, and then, like, Annette O'Toole is the last to show up. And she walks in, and it's a fucking 1990 Annette O'Toole, and everybody knows what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And she takes one look at these dudes and then faints.
Yes.
You know what happens when someone faints at a restaurant? The dinner is over.
Yes, exactly.
We're
here
all
are your
going-
coats.
A doctor, or, you know, the EMTs are coming, and you're definitely not staying at that restaurant. No. This meal should not happen.
I'm not feeding you food after that.
No, get out of my restaurant, fucking fainting all over the place.
Well, because they cut, like, you don't even see, like, her getting back up. It kind of, like, just cuts from her doing that to, like...
They nurse her back to health with duck sauce.
She's laying down. Oh, she's laying... Because this is... It's a classic TV, three-hour TV movie commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
She faints. We fade to commercial. We come back in. She opens her eyes. She's looking at Harry Anderson, and he's like, oh, hey there, beautiful. And this is also when you, like, you really see Harry Anderson fucking open it up. He's really taking it for a ride in this scene, and he's screaming in this restaurant. If I was any other diner at this establishment, I'm furious with the fucking management.
Yep.
I'm like, get back there and tell them to shut the fuck up. Everybody's screaming and fainting. That nerd had an asthma attack.
And honestly, because I hadn't seen this before, I was certain he was gonna get eaten.
You
or like,
pray.
You
know, oh, yeah.
I was like, come
you
on.
Pray for it.
This is setting it up. This is, I'm really going to get it.
He's not the one that dies. And you're like, why is he not the one that dies?
He's just endlessly bitching throughout this whole movie.
We wind up going to a haunted hotel. Or not really a haunted a hotel. Pennywise also is kind of like, oh, shit. They all came back. You know, let me free the town murderer. So hopefully he can murder one of them.
And this was one of the bullies, right?
Yes.
From the past, because we kind of didn't talk
Bowers.
About the... Excuse, yeah.
Bowers.
Oh, I thought you said hours ago. And I was like, yep, it sure was. This fucking long-ass movie. He was throwing... Well, no, he got rocks thrown at him. He was finally defeated. All of his bullying was... And then apparently he went to...
Not after a couple brisk uses of the N-word in this TV movie.
ABC.
It's terrible.
Were they bleeping that or what?
I don't know. That's a great
question. They definitely
weren't.
Yeah,
you're right. It's 1990, man.
Because they were making it for ABC, right? So it was just like, oh, it's...
Yeah, it's in there. That's so weird.
I guess they wanted to show, like, the adversity.
I mean, he's a villain, so like I guess you get away with it. I'm using air quotes.
Like, but you know what, man? Do the math. He's a fucking black kid in 1960 Maine.
Also, you didn't need to add salt. The guy was like offering to cut people up and like was gonna rape Bev at some point.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't need this too.
It's distracting. It's jarring. It takes you out of the movie.
Sure.
Because he's also, he's throwing boy around all over the place. That's it. I get it from there.
Exactly.
So they throw rocks at him and they run him out of the area. And apparently he ends up like confessing to its crimes.
He goes crazy.
Him and his buddies go and they actually try and kill all the kids in the sewer. They're going to follow him or maybe fuck him up. They might kill him. And then it gets them. And like kills two of his buddies and turns him into Jim Jarmusch real quick.
You took my joke, you fuck.
It's like Jim Jarmusch begins this kid.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, man, it's so great. Yeah, one kid gets sucked into a pipe and it's a great effect because like it's just the actor laying on his stomach with
his
hands out.
This is the coolest
thing in the movie, yeah. And then like there's fake feet, so he's like bent unnaturally, which is awesome. Then another kid just gets torn up and then that other dude gets Jarmuschd. It's fucking great.
So now we cut to Jarmusch in prison, and it is talking to him via the moon.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever movie.
It is amazing.
Yeah, he's just like,
and
you
then
know,
he's under his bed.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing. His idea, his thing is like, oh, you know, if they don't believe in me, I can't get them. But in either case, if you get a knife, you can cut their goddamn throat. Like, you know,
yeah, I can make knives.
So
I can make many,
Pennywise,
many knives.
His face is in the moon telling this guy to go out and kill
more kids.
Yeah,
well, it's a weird fucking thing what happens here. So I believe he's in a mental ward.
Yes.
And he's like, all right, how am I going to break out of here?
So then Pennywise appears to him in the form of the buddy who got bent up in the tube.
Yeah.
Whose name is Belch.
Sure, great name.
And, you know, it's like zombie-looking Belch or whatever. And he's like, hey, here's this switchblade. And then there's the attendant or like the security guard comes in like, hey, what's going on in here? At which point, Belch turns into a dog monster.
He turns into a clown that with a dog head. Oh, yeah,
it's a clown with a dog head.
It's great. It's like a Rottweiler in a clown costume.
And like, so if it, if like this it creatures thing is like he taps into your fears, which it's very smart that he's mostly a clown because who's not terrified of clowns, sure. Right? But then like Seth Green sees him as a werewolf. Yeah. You know, the fat kid sees him as the dad, whatever. Yeah. You know, Blood Sink, I guess, is what Annette O'Toole Bev is scared of, right? But like, so this...
You
this,
won't wash your hands of Blood Sink.
This medical attendant is scared of a clown with a dog.
Like, well, that's pretty scary.
Like Pennywise is like, okay, what's this guy scared? Oh, it's... Well, it's my body with a dog head.
Roddy's. Roddy's.
Easy enough.
And then the guy on the next cot's like, well, Mary, if you want, I'll throw a lasso around the moon and pull down Pennywise the clown for you.
By the way, but like you derail my thoughts so hard here because now I'm thinking about them like putting the Rottweiler on the ladder and draping the clown costume over it.
The logistics of getting this shot is frustrating.
Dude, that wasn't movie magic, man. That's fucking real. There's clown dogs out there.
Pennywise made it for the picture.
There's clown dogs out there. That just reminds me of, oh my God, what was that in?
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter.
Yes, thank you. Clown Dog, the restaurant in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter.
Oh, right.
Did anybody notice? It was the worst part of the whole movie for me.
But, oh, please.
Wow.
The name of the attendant.
Oh yeah,
Koontz.
Really?
Koontz. He had to. Oh, I hate. He's the worst one.
Yeah, that's what he says. Oh, Koontz. He's the worst one.
Wow. He's not.
I'm gonna get that fucking Koontz too. And then the kids are gonna fuck each other. Yeah.
And then he's cleaning up after my characters.
Oh, that's Lovecraft. He's overrated.
Oh. Clickety clack, indeed, man. So they go back to the hotel. Oh, the haunted hotel.
We're in the haunted hotel, and then like everyone's like, "Oh, we're telling stories," and then like it's like, "Oh, you know, let's all go up to our rooms," and like somebody has the idea, like, "Don't go alone." So John Ritter, Eddie, and Mike go up to their respective rooms to get stuff. Ritter goes into an Ed O'Toole's room to get her a sweater, and he's like smelling all of her stuff. By the way,
yeah,
it's a have a good smell Costanza situation.
Perv's holiday, man.
he had written her some poem as a kid, and she comes in and she's like, "Oh, you wrote me this poem. I remember it." And they start making out, and wouldn't you know it, very much like The Shining, he turns into Pennywise.
Yeah,
did you kiss me, fat boy? Which is a pretty funny line.
I chuckle.
Yeah,
literally every time I've heard that, and will if I ever hear it again. Kiss me, fat. And it's like the way they capture like Tim Curry doing it too, like the angle that he's at. It's just, it's beautiful.
I think I'm gonna make that. I haven't made up posters or anything like, or you know, I don't have.
Excuse me.
Not enough decorations for my wedding yet, but "Kiss Me, Fat Boy" might work.
Oh yeah, totally.
It sure would. You should decorate your wedding with a bunch of fucking horrific looking clowns.
Is that gonna be her T-shirt?
Yeah, "Kiss Me, Fat Boy."
That's what she wears.
Yeah, "Kiss Me, Fat Boy." No, and then he runs out screaming. Koontz gets Mike, and we get one more classic use of the N-word real quick.
Just for old time's sake.
You want to connect them. This guy's been in prison for 40 years.
Oh, so that's who he is.
The first word he says as a free man is that. He's a Red Sox fan, all right.
Mike's just like, oh, yeah, oh, hey, what's going on? And to which he responds by stabbing him in the chest.
A couple of times, and then, like, everybody gets him off there.
Yeah,
they wind up killing him.
Yeah, he somehow gets the knife in him, dies instantly.
So they leave. They're like, oh, we have to rush Mike to the hospital. Oh, my God, Pennywise is everywhere. And they're running out of the hotel, And they're like, what do we do with the dead body? It's like, if we get the police, I know the town's crooked. We're going to be screwed anyway. So, but John Ritter leaves his card on the way out. He's like, oh, just charge my room.
Oh, yeah.
With the dead body? Like, that's when you're paying
There's
cash.
There's going to be a very different John Ritter Time magazine cover in like about a month.
Don't rent a room to this man. Well, it's fucked up because he has... I think it's Ritter's character that says this too. He very easily comes up with, just put this blanket over him, turn the TV on really loud, and we're just going to leave. I was like, that was a pretty fluid thought.
Mm-hmm. I've been here before. Yeah, exactly.
When they take, what's his name, to the hospital?
Mike
to the hospital. So they all, because they don't want to leave each other.
Yes.
And Harry Anderson has rented this red convertible, right? And they all cram into this car. Harry Anderson is definitely driving drunk to this hospital.
Yes.
They've been doing nothing but pounding whiskey this entire... back since the Chinese restaurant.
I would argue they have to fight it drunk.
definitely are still drunk, dude.
That'd be great if they're getting into the... as they're going down to the sewer, they're like, I'm kind of getting that like pre-waking up hangover you get.
Yep.
Oh, I hate that.
Man, the good thing about being down in the sewer is you could just puke wherever.
That's true.
Yeah. But man, like, you want to be on your A game when you're fighting a menacing fucking monster, man. I don't want to do anything when I'm hungover.
This is not the time for me to be believing in something.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Oh shit, that thing's played by Tim Curry. Oh god.
Use my imagination now.
I imagine a big bed in an air-conditioned room
watching The Rock on VHS.
That's how Pennywise gets him.
Yeah,
it's
becomes
a big Serta mattress coming out. Yeah,
he becomes deathbed, dude.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I'd love that.
Audra blows into town for no reason. Like, she's not a character.
Oh, Bill's wife, played by Olivia Hussey.
She might as well, like, just not be in the rest of the movie, like, because she doesn't do anything. Maybe in the book, and who knows?
Yeah, no, it's useless, honestly. Yes.
She comes in, she gets caught by Pennywise immediately. He uses his deadlights, which, in case you don't know, is a light that makes you go insane. It comes from his tummy.
What?
It does.
He's like an evil Care Bear.
He kind of is. God.
I don't understand this thing too with Audra. So like her motivation to go. So like they live in England, right?
Working on some movie.
It's
or
a very Stanley Kubrick situation, right? So they live on this like big estate
They're
in England. They're
faking the moon landing.
yep.
And so she's talking
to this
dude.
I need Bill to help me with this moon landing.
You can tell that she definitely has a type because she's talking to this dude who's either like the producer of this movie or the director who's like another evil shithead dude in
Franco.
This movie. Franco is his name?
The producer.
Uh-huh.
This guy also has a ponytail and alludes to they had some sort of previous relationship.
Oh shit,
this lady likes dudes with scuzzy ponytails, but whereas Bill is like the pure, you know, innocent heroic ponytail, this Franco's the dirty evil ponytail.
Ooh, the bad boy of ponytails.
That's because Franco wears ties.
What do you think? Bill's wearing ties all over this
is
movie
he?
Oh dude, he's wearing a tie through this whole movie.
Wears a tie with a lot of inappropriate shirts.
Freaking he's blank nothing this whole
he
movie.
Looks like a really hip substitute teacher.
Yeah, he's wearing like a tie with like a purple corduroy shirt. It's just weird. It's just unsettling.
Yeah, it's like you cut up a blanket and put a tie around it.
All right. He's wearing good ties.
Yes.
But so he's like, you know, this dude's like, if you leave, like, you know, I guess she's also starring in the movie is the idea.
Yeah, sure.
So he's like, well, his career is already over with. If you leave, you're going to wash yourself up just like him, blah, blah, blah. And she just immediately like... it's kind of weird. I don't know what's going on here. She picks up the phone. She dials literally three numbers.
Uh-huh.
You can see her just go, bop, bop, bop. And she's like, hello, yes, when's your next flight to America? I was like, that's a fake phone call. You're just trying to get out of talking with Franco.
That's something that Stan could have figured out. Oh, hold on, Mike. I've got someone on the other line. Click.
Yep.
That's it.
And what? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Exactly. And also, Bill was working on a movie. That's a perfect excuse to get out of fucking main duty for the weekend.
I think he pulls the biggest guilt trip on him, though, because he's like, hey, man, it's back. By the way, you know how I know? I found a fucking photograph of your dead brother.
Oh, God. How many times are you going to use that one, Mike?
Seriously, pulling the Georgie card on me, you fucking dick.
How many of those do you have? No, like, honestly.
I don't understand that, though. Why is it leaving fucking headshots of these kids?
That's a great question.
Because that's like the opening scene of the movie. It's like a little girl gets killed, and Mike shows up at the crime scene, and this cop is like, you know, the chief is going to be mad if he knows I let you on the crime scene. And then the chief comes and chews this dude out. Yeah. And Mike looks under this tree, and it's just a picture of this kid. What are you doing?
I mean, he doesn't want the loser club, which is what they call themselves, to come back.
Right.
Like, that specifically, like, he doesn't want that to happen. So don't leave headshots of the loser club's brother.
Maybe this is like, you know, suicide by loser club. Like, he knows, like,
that's how I want to die.
No. Like,
they're going to end me.
Leno's ratings were down for a little bit, so he had to get like a one, like he really had to pull in a favor. So those fuckers are still alive.
Pennywise, you gotta help me out. Letterman's kicking my ass.
You gotta kill more kids. But I mean, like, also Pennywise, just cut Mike Hanlon's brake line, dude. That's it.
Yep. That's it.
That's the end. That's the
oh,
end.
Oh, man. It'd be great if, like, Pennywise just started resorting to, like, regular crimes. Like, his power's fading in the world. Maybe the Earth's getting too old or something.
Sure.
So now he's just, like, cutting brakes and, like, pushing people in front of the crosswalks when they shouldn't be. And
he's like fucking with their tax returns, so they're unknowingly mm-hmm. committing tax fraud.
Exactly. He's like, now Mike is stealing cable.
Shaves off the wig. Now gets just a black trench coat.
One well-placed phone call to Time Warner.
It's 20 years in the clink, Mike. So at this point, Ritter and Annette O'Toole start making out outside of the hospital. And like, Ritter's got this great line. He's like, I don't know, Bev. Is it you or is it the clown? And I'm like, you kind of can't come back from that, Bev.
You have to explain to her that just a few minutes prior to Mike's attempted murder, he was making out with Pennywise and thought it was her. Because without that information, he's just like, is it you or is it the clown? And she would be offended.
No, but not only that, but dude, how are you ever going to be comfortable with this woman if every time you look at her, you think about the clown that
You know what, dude? It's the power of a 1990 Annette O'Toole.
Okay, that's true.
I don't know. I think you say goodbye to erections after this.
Yes, exactly.
I think this is just, you know what, turn your back on it. Maybe, I mean, a couple of years you got Viagra. And then you're okay, but for the time being,
I'm gonna spoil your erections forever.
So what happens now? They head to his bone cave.
Yeah, they kind of like they
after some much annoying Harry Anderson bitching. It's like, I didn't want to come here. Now I didn't want to go to dinner. Now I didn't want to go to the fucking sewer system. Yeah. But I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm gonna fucking kvetch about it the entire time.
Well, even that I would almost take over fucking Billy, like, very mopishly blank screen saying, we have to do it, guys, because they're all about to leave and fuck you to all this. And he's like, no, we have to do it because we have to do it for Georgie.
Which, it's lame, but it also, like, mirrors in the kid timeline where it's Jonathan Brandis, who is good in this movie, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Is, like, very upset, and he's like, please help me. He's, like, begging for their help.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No. What if a 1960 Jonathan Brandis to beat Pennywise imagines his hero, Chuck Norris?
Oh, I like this a lot. I like this.
Because that's in his... He's the greatest power of them all.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, clown. Kia.
Hey, clown. There's nothing more un-American than a killer clown.
Maybe voting Democrat.
Hey, clown. Did you also serve in Vietnam? I didn't think so.
Kia.
Kia, indeed.
So
we go down in the sewer. Harry Anderson's like, nobody brought a machine gun?
Good point, though, honestly.
Like, what are you talking about? It's a fucking magic clown, man. A machine gun's not going to do anything.
That's a good point.
It's a stupid line.
Well, or
from
you
a
could just,
stupid character.
Or just imagine a gun and blow it away.
Right.
If, like, anything's going to work.
Gun with battery acid bullets?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, shit.
Who gives a fuck?
Maybe imagine dragons? I don't know.
Oh, God. Yeah, that'll kill you. So we go down there. It's just the five of them at this point because Mike's laid up. Mike survives the stabbing. He's in the hospital.
Stanley killed himself for no reason.
Absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
And so it's actually a really dumb thing is Mike gives Bill the two little, like, silver nuggets that Bev used as a kid to slingshot
it or whatever. Yes. So he's like,
because
so,
Mike went through the garbage to get it.
Right. He went back down in the sewer on his own to get them, which he admits to Bill was because
you living down here, Mike.
Hey, buddy, you can't be sleeping down here, man.
It was during a rough patch of his life, and he was feeling suicidal. So he's down there like...
Suicide by clown.
He's like, yeah, dude. He's like, all right, either I find these two little melted down silver nuggets, or I get killed by the clown. One or the other.
Or gas exposure, or like, you know, anything.
Oh, yeah, just poisoned by feces.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's even if you're not poisoned, like the smell is sticking to you for months.
Oh, you can't wash
that off. No shower can do any help.
Hey, Mike, you sleeping it off in there or what?
Bill says is like, it's the five of us, but we have these two nuggets. One's for Mike and one's for Stan, so we're all here. I was like, no, there's five of you and two pieces of garbage. So whatever, they go down there. There's a bunch of creepy like people wrapped up in like spider web shit, including Audra.
Yeah, and Georgie comes back. The boat comes back.
We just fight this fuck. It's a big stupid spider crab thing. It looks terrible.
Very anticlimactic. Like, give me Tim Curry. You know what? Maybe if you want to put him in a different outfit than the clown,
put him in the outfit from the book. Like in the book, he's a clown, but he's wearing like a crazy like silver suit.
Anything. I agree with you. Like, just to have this big
just
puppet
make him
clown,
like reptilian or something. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's. I mean, to go back to like 1989 when they're making this movie and be like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. So what's gonna? You have this amazing performance from Tim Curry, and he's not in the last 15 minutes of the film.
Instead, we're gonna kick a puppet.
Yeah, and that's
what we do. We
by
kick
the way,
a puppet
that is
death.
It. That there is no other way to put it. It is just they go up. All this fear they've had.
Yes.
And they push it like a swing. And it's over. That's fucking it.
Well, it's kind of just like they're Joe Pesci-ing this thing. They're beating the shit out of it.
They really are.
A lot of mafia kicks.
Yeah, they get a nugget in the thorax, and that's that. And
Dominic! That my brother in there.
Yeah, I mean, like, he tries to use the deadlights. It doesn't work.
Well, does she get a shot off on the deadlights or no?
She does, because I think he's showing them his stomach. Either because he's trying to scare them, or if that's part of his mating thing, I don't know how it works. And like, that's how he's aroused.
It might be suicide by the loser club.
No, that's it. Do it. Leno is terrible. Take my life. If I see one more jaywalking, I'm gonna do it myself.
Actually, that'd be perfect. They green screen it, and like it's a fire. When she hits it, there's like a firework goes off. Or something.
That also
it
looks
should
very
just be
dumb.
Jay Leno's face.
or like,
hey, how's it going?
What was that one character you used to do, like Biondo or something? It's just his floating head. Have Jay Leno's floating head come out of his belly.
Hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about these people in Arkansas?
And so it like they
believe they put this in the newspaper. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
Oh, look at this! They were trying to take an ad for something and they spelled something wrong. This is television comedy.
Send me to eternal darkness now, please. I've lived a million years and I want it to end.
So the nerd kid gets picked up and I guess has like his skeleton crushed by this monster.
Which I need a little bit more here. I need. Yeah. Blood out of his eyeballs or
something. Anything. And he just kind of like expires. And then Annette O'Toole shoots the deadlights and it kind of rolls over. And they're like, oh, you know, this isn't over. And Harry Anderson actually has a good line right here. He's like, I don't want to have to do this again when I'm 70, which was pretty funny. And then he's like, they decide like, all right, let's finish this once and for all. Like Chris said, they kick over this puppet and they're all just, I mean, it's like... Yeah. It's like a fucking Romero movie, man. Like, they're tearing at this thing, which, by the way, he was supposed to originally direct this.
Better movie.
They're, like, pulling at this thing, and my God in heaven, this dude who plays Bill reaches, and they're all, like, rah! They're all, like, screaming. Like, John Ritter's just got, like, goop all over his face, and this dude rips out this beast's heart and just tears it in half.
Nice. They should eat it. They should have
they
to
should
eat it.
It.
Consume it. Yeah, make it become part of us.
Mm-hmm. So this is all we had to do?
Yeah.
This is really.
After all that, yeah.
Yeah, all you had to do was rip a space spider's heart in half.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the end what centuries now of child massacres.
I mean, but they're the ones that cracked it, though, dude, I guess is
the
idea.
They had the bravery and the tenacity.
Of course.
And the previously unseen orgy experience to take down this monster.
Also, and the thing that didn't get put in is they also had the guidance of a turtle.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's in the book, there's a turtle that helps them around. The creator of the universe is a turtle, ladies and gentlemen.
Clickety-coke. Clickety-coke. Clickety-coke.
That's an actual religious thing, I think. Someone believes that. Japanese, maybe? Or maybe. Native
Madonna?
Americans?
Madonna? Probably. That sounds like a Madonna.
Probably Madonna.
But the funniest thing is, my favorite piece of IMDb trivia ever, is John Ritter went up to the producer and he's like, so when what's a turtle going to look like? And the guy was like, the fuck are you talking about? Turtle? That was, humiliating.
There's four of them, and they're named after Renaissance painters.
Well, like, that's a bummer, though, if you're Ritter and you're maybe, like, a fan of it.
No, he was actually a huge fan, apparently.
And, you know, it's like, hey, one of my favorite parts of this movie is the turtle god. And they're like, fuck you, comedian.
What are you talking about? This is the Andy Dufresne murder scene. What are you talking about?
Why don't you fall over a table, you fuck?
Oh, man, you fucking stole my tripper joke.
That's
it.
Oh,
that's great. Yeah, so this thing's dead. They carry that dead nerd out. Audra is comatose.
Yes.
And so what kicks in every now and again in this movie, whenever it's convenient for him, if he has the time to do it, Mike is technically narrating this movie.
Sure.
And he's writing down all these memories in his journal because the memories are, like, everything's getting cloudy again. They're forgetting that this whole experience ever happened.
Good idea.
Yeah. And he gives, like, the epilogue. So it's Harry Anderson moves back to L.A. and he makes a movie alongside somebody that looks like Dead Eddie.
That's a weird detail.
Yeah. It is. I never really noticed that one before. Like this viewing round, I was like, oh wait, he said he looks like the dead friend.
So is it Tommy Boy? Because the guy kind of looks like David Spade.
So he does that. John Ritter and Annette O'Toole like leave town that day, and he says like they were married a week later, and 3 weeks after that they were pregnant. Okay.
Sure, well, because that broke the curse.
Oh right, yeah, because they're all childless.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, you're fine. You know what? You're fucking fine.
Thank you, Pennywise. You're welcome. No, just tell her you met Pennywise. Nothing's gonna happen.
And then he's like, oh, so Bill and Audra are still in town because she's in a coma, or she's comatose.
Yes.
She, you know, and they're getting ready to leave, and they call this cab out, and Bill sees like his old bike, and he's like, let me try this one thing. And they get on a bike and ride down this like San Francisco hill.
Yeah, in Maine.
And she wakes up from this coma while he's like darting through traffic on this bicycle.
And that's the last shot of the movie.
Well, actually,
the last shot of the movie is Pennywise laughing for no reason. Not a shot, but that's what you hear over
it. It fades to black, and it's like a clear television credits thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the end of an episode of Taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it's just Tim Curry laughing, and you're like, oh, yeah, that fucking great performance that I haven't seen in 20 minutes.
Yep.
So stupid. So fucking stupid.
So is Mike gonna, like, publish this thing? Is that his hope? Because, I mean, him and Bill might be getting themselves into a nice little lawsuit fight soon.
Well, he changed the names to protect the innocent.
No, Kevin's saying he might also write a horror story about it.
Okay. The script, the rights, I mean, it's a whole thing.
Well, they're all forgetting it, though. And I think, I don't know, it's totally different. I have that, and you have it. That's coming for us.
Look out for that.
Man, that's the fucking Sci-Fi Channel ripoff if I ever heard it. Oh no, that.
Oh, yeah,
starring Ian Ziering.
He's a mime. He's a mime.
Ian Ziering is the mime in that.
That starring Ian Ziering and Tara Reid.
Mm-hmm. Can I say, I think I know why you watched this movie. You've said for quite some time now that an instant A+ in any movie is child death.
Yeah, this is like the child death all-stars.
This is like, I mean, so much child death.
Yeah, even though it's all off-screen.
Yeah, I gotta see it, man.
I gotta see it! Maybe you see it in this new movie.
Yeah, I wanna see like the soul leave the eyes. You know what I mean?
What, like it's a Gus Van Sant movie?
Yes.
Sure, or real life, Chris.
Would anybody recommend this it?
No. And I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen the movie that's out already. I will wind up seeing that. I'll let you know. I'll let everybody know.
Yeah, please let us know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just sort of, it's really boring. It's really long. There's got to be a Tim Curry supercut on YouTube. Just go watch.
That's what I was going to say. I'm sure you can just track down everything. Because I think, like, all told, he's got like 15 minutes of screen time.
Something like that. I mean, even just the library scene would be good enough.
Him screaming in that library is great.
Never see this. Yeah, absolutely never, ever see this.
It's just too long. That's too long. Yeah, that's my big beef with this. So, hey, fuck it.
Yeah, no, it is. It's on the lower end of the... Even the TV adaptations. Because I think the Shining adaptation is better than this.
I will take Sleepwalkers over this any day of the week.
That I've never seen, actually.
Any day of the
week.
Wait,
that was a TV movie?
No, but like just like bad movies.
In terms of bad adaptations.
Bad adaptations. It's a really silly, stupid movie.
It was a clickety-clack adaptation.
I do believe so.
I don't think we're done with Stephen King TV stuff. I feel like the Langoliers...
Langoliers is definitely an episode. Speaking of fucking Balki Bartakamoos, he's all over that episode.
And the Tommyknockers is the other one?
Tommyknockers was a TV movie. Movie
Tommy Boy was written by Stephen King.
The Dark Tower, maybe. Bad things.
It's supposed to be
heard
awful.
Bad things.
I mean, listen, you have like this entire LOTR-esque world you're setting up. Your movie is 99 minutes. I don't know.
I don't.
That
even
sounds
think
like
it's...
the best part of the movie.
That's it. Directed by Tommy Lee Wallace. If you want more WHM, check out WHMpodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We'd greatly appreciate it. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We're at WHM Podcast. All that good social media stuff. Coming up next week on the program, as Season 8 still gets underway here.
We are doing sort of our... I guess this kind of counts as back to school, too, because kids die. But
sure.
We're doing kind of our little back to school episode with If Looks Could Kill.
Oh, and what the hell is that?
It's James Bond Jr. if it was a film starring, what was his name, Richard Grieco?
Richard Grieco. I think it's going to be a hard recommend for everybody. I guarantee
it. I kind of really liked it.
Isn't The Who's Roger Daltrey in that as well?
Yes, he is. Oh, man. For a second.
Ooh. Andrew, I'm very curious to see what you're going to think of this, because I think, it's up your alley.
I'm an If Looks Could Kill virgin right now anyway, but then me and a bunch of friends are going to go down in the sewer and fix that.
That's the only way you're going to get out of that sewer, my friend.
That's right, man. So until next week with If Looks Could Kill, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.